Last week, I had made a comment about how people, there are those out there who do not believe that we went to the moon, you know, that we landed on the moon. I forgot to look, I was going to look up how many times we went to the moon, but they think it was all just a hoax, that it was a NASA and Hollywood, you know, fiasco, a movie. They, you know, created it all in a warehouse and all that. And I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I saw a, what they call a video short dealing with that. There's a scientist out there who's getting well known, and he's making all these little short videos on all these talks he's making about science and everything. And he was talking to somebody in regards to that. And the guy said that he believed that it was a hoax, that we never went to the moon. We never sent men to the moon. We never went around the moon. Never did anything. And the scientist was said, just happened to say, well, just so happened, NASA recently took and redirected a satellite towards the moon and took close-up pictures of the moon. And you can go on this website and view these pictures. And it shows the wheel tracks of where the rover, you know, went all around the moon. And you can actually see the lunar lander, lunar module, you know, that was left there. And they were showing the pictures while he was talking of the tracks, you know, and everything. And the guy went and looked at him and came back and saw the scientists again. He goes, did you see the pictures? He goes, yeah. He says, it's still a hoax. I don't believe it. And the guy said, never mind. And got up and walked away from him. He says, if you can't just see the physical evidence and still will not believe it, I have nothing else to say to you, and just walked away from him. But I thought that was interesting that that came up right after I talked about it.
I was going to say, how do you know the pictures are real?
Yeah. And that's what he was saying, that they were fake. You know, they weren't real. About being fake?
No, about being on the moon.
Oh.
They're making a movie, right?
No. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, you know, and it's the same thing with, you know, the Bible. You know, there's they have found evidences, you know, to prove the Bible. And, you know, nothing in the Bible have they ever proven wrong. But, you know, they found things out there, and, you know, Bible talks about this city. Well, here it is. You know, the archaeologists are digging it up and everything, and people are still saying that the Bible's fake, you know. So I just thought that was interesting that that came up after me talking about it last Sunday. Yes, sir. Yeah.
One day they're going to have to bow down. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Scripture says every knee will bow.
Yeah, the evil, the enemy has got them blind.
Yes, it does.
But it shouldn't surprise us. Human beings living in Jesus' time even said and saw his miracles, didn't believe it.
Right. Yeah, a prophet has no something in his own home, you know, but it's and that's what we're, you know, going to look at today once we get into the First John. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to come together and to worship you and sing praises unto you and to study your word, Father. And just pray, Father, that as I present the lessons today, that I can do so in a way that we can understand your word better and clearer, and that it can make us better Christians, and it will give us the courage that we need to talk to others about you, Father, and bring others to Christ. Forgive us of many sins, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are in 1 John, and we will get into it today. I promise that. We've been doing a lot last couple of weeks talking about it, but we will get into that. There we go. All right, I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes and go over the outline again. Again, John is going to take his readers on a walk through history about Jesus in these first four verses that we're going to look at this morning. You know, he's like, remember Jesus. You know, remember his teachings. Remember his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. You know, some of them, the people that he's writing to were there and they saw Jesus. You know, don't be fooled or pulled away by these false teachers who never saw Jesus. You know, and that's the thing about these Gnostic teachers coming from Greece. They never had any dealings with Jesus. They didn't see Jesus. They didn't talk to Jesus. They didn't hear Jesus talk, you know, his parables and everything, see his miracles. But because of what they believe, that, you know, the spiritual and the physical can't be together, then Jesus couldn't have been both physical and spiritual at the same time. And so they're taking their philosophy and trying to apply it to Jesus, and that philosophy, I'm assuming, made sense to some of these early Christians, and so it's confusing them. And so what John is doing is saying, look, remember Jesus. Excuse me. So we're going to look at that, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to get into the certainty of your salvation, okay? You can be certain of your salvation. He's going to break it down into three areas. You can be sure by walking in the light in chapter 1, 5, going to chapter 2, verse 29. And we'll get into part of that hopefully this morning. Then you can also be certain by abiding in God's love, because God is light, God is love. And we'll see that in chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 21. And then you can also be certain by the exercising faith, by exercising your faith, okay? Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and then the conclusion will be chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. And we'll look at this as we go along. All right, let's dive in. 1 John 1, verse 1. That. What is that John is referring to in that first verse? God?
Jesus.
Okay, talking about Jesus. So Jesus, which was from the beginning. What beginning is he referring to? Creation of the earth? What were you going to say?
Could be the one creation of the earth or his coming, his birth.
Okay. Well, let's look at it as this way. Let's go over to the Epistle John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and verse 14. Again, John is using the same terminology that he's using in 1 John that he used here in his epistle. In the beginning was the Word. The very beginning, okay, was the Word, and of course we all know that Word being Jesus. And the Word was with God, okay, so here we have the Word is in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have the Word being in the beginning, was with God, and was God. And of course we understand that being the Godhead three, the God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So this Word was in the beginning, was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And nothing was made in the beginning. Remember those days of creation? Without him. In verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he dropped down to verse 14, we find out who this Word was. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we can go back and say, well, you know what? The Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, that was God, that helped create the earth, create everything, and became flesh and dwelt among us, that was Jesus. Okay? So Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus, he is the divine nature. He was the source of creation and time. Jesus embodies the Word. Jesus is the giver of human life. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was with God. Jesus was revealed to the world. You know, do you understand what John is doing here? He is using these terms and titles that they are familiar with to reiterate and to remind them who Jesus is. He is not who these Gnostic teachers are stating that he is. He was not a ghost, okay? He was not, as they were stating, that he was just, that he was a ghost, then he was baptized and became spiritual, and then he died and became human again, okay? Because again, remember, the Gnostics didn't believe that spiritual and physical could be together, that it could be in the same body. And so they were trying to separate Jesus from his spiritual body and physical body, because they, in their philosophy, didn't believe that they could mix. Okay? And so John is just reiterating that who Jesus was. Okay? And he's doing that by saying that Jesus, going back to 1 John 1, that Jesus was from the beginning. Remember that, okay? Which we have heard. They've heard Jesus. And they have seen with their own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Don't forget the physical. Okay? You've seen Jesus. You've heard Jesus. You've seen his miracles. Okay? You've touched him. That's Jesus. I'm going to kill this thing. I'm moving with my hands, talking with my hands. You know? But, you know, don't listen to what these Gnostic teachers who have never seen Jesus are trying to teach you. It's false. Okay? Verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us. John is reminding his readers that Jesus was real. Jesus wasn't a ghost, as the Gnostic teachers were trying to say. Remember Jesus who walked among us. Remember, John was writing to the Christians of the first century church. Does this teaching apply to us today? How?
What they're saying is true.
Okay. It's true. Do we have false teachers today trying to teach what's not in the Bible? You know, teaching what's, you know, we've talked about it, I think, Wednesday night, as far as trying to say that hell is not an eternity, that it's only, you know, 20 years or 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years or whatever. It's not an eternity, going against what we see in the Bible, okay? There's other things that people are trying to say, you know, about Jesus and, you know, Mary Magdalene and whatever. You know, they say that Jesus married Mary Magdalene. You know, we don't see that in Scripture. You know, there's always things that they're trying to do and say that, you know, discredits the Bible. You know, try to change what the Bible teaches. And that's what was happening here. So yeah, what John is telling us, even though we did not see Jesus, we did not hear Jesus physically, we did not touch him, we did not see him do miracles, but we have it in the Scripture Okay? So, again, that's where our faith comes into play, isn't it? Believing in things that we haven't seen. Okay? And so, you know, we might have a harder time believing it than they would because they actually saw it. And, you know, it's just like saying that, you know, the Statue of Liberty doesn't exist, that it's fake, you know, it's an illusion. Well, Kathy and I have been up to the island. We didn't actually get on the island, but I can tell you that the Statue of Liberty exists. Grand Canyon exists. Niagara Falls exists. You know, all these things that you see about if you haven't gone to them, you know, they exist. Dinosaurs. We were watching a show the other night, and, you know, they were saying that dinosaurs didn't exist, you know. It's like, yeah, they do. When you have the fossils, you know, the fossil record, you know, and you can see it and touch it, and there it is. We've actually been to a dig site in South Dakota and actually seen, you know, the fossils. Or if you go to a museum, you know, it's hard to believe they existed, you know. It's hard to believe that Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, roamed around down there just what, 5 miles from Tico is Latah. And I saw a sign that said Mammoth Crossing. It's like, what? And they have a little sign there. We pulled into the little park and they've got a poster there. And it's talking about that they found mammoth bones there. And I just didn't expect mammoths to be in this area. And, but yeah, they, you know, we had mammoths here. And read their little report they had. And it talked about hyenas, that they actually found hyena bones in this same little swamp. I was like, no, that's from Africa, you know. But they found it to be hyenas, you know. So I haven't seen them, haven't touched them, but I've got to believe it because the fossil record was there. But here John is telling them, look, you've seen Jesus, you've touched Jesus, you've seen his miracles, you've heard his sermons, you know. Yeah, we need to believe the truth and not these false teachings that are trying to tear down the truth. Okay, so as we go through these books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we've got to remember that that's what this background is. That's the reason he's writing this text. No questions, comments? All right then.
I was just going to say real quick
Okay. Right.
Us
and our, right.
Well, people of faith, I automatically go, yeah, everybody was in the mix on this thing.
Yeah. So let's look at some of the terms and titles that John has used in these first two verses. And they reference back to what we just read in John, the first chapter of verses 1 through 14. He talks about Jesus as being in the beginning. He talks about Jesus as the word of life, and we see that again in John 1, verses 1 and 4, that Jesus is the life in John 1, 4. Eternal life in verse 2, John 10, verse 28. He talks about that Jesus was with the Father, and again, verses John 1 and 1, and then he's manifested to us in John 1, 4. Again, he's referring to his earlier writings, you know, his gospel in this letter here, 1 John, and it's stuff that they should have already read, they should be familiar with. He's not introducing anything new, is he? Okay? But again, he's just trying to make the point of what it is. All right, let's go on. 1 John 1, verses 3 and 4. Here, John is continuing his history of Jesus. He continues to remind his readers of who Jesus was. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. So not everybody there, or not everybody that's reading this, might have been there, might have not have seen Jesus, might not have heard him and touched him or whatever. But John had. You know, we looked back at that last week where John had been there from the beginning. You know, he was one of the first four that Jesus picked. He was there throughout the whole ministry, even to his death and ascension. So, and they're declaring that to them, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. John is asking his readers, who are you going to believe? These false teachers who never met Jesus and their false philosophies, or me who knew Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who ate with Jesus, who sat at the feet of Jesus, who heard his teachings? Believe in what you have seen, what you have touched, and what you have heard. By doing so, you can have fellowship with us. And by doing so, you will have true fellowship with God and with Jesus, his Son. John ends this section with, I write these things that so that you will have joy and full and abundant. Sound familiar? John also writes about this in his gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, who's the thief? Satan. Okay? Satan does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Okay? Have life more abundantly. That is what Jesus is promising them. Okay? These Gnostic teachers are promising, you know, that they're going to be, it's going to be misguided. They're causing confusion. But John is saying, look, again, he's referencing his earlier writings. Okay? You're going to have life through Jesus, and it's going to be full. It's going to be more abundant. And that's what Jesus said. All right. That completes the first section, the historical section, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now we're going to drop down to walking in the light, starting in verse 5 and going through chapter 2, verse 29. Any questions or comments on what we've looked at so far? Is anybody awake? All right, verse 5. This is the message which you have heard from him, being Jesus, and declare to you that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6. These early Christians are dealing with these false teachings being introduced by the Greek Gnostic teachers or philosophers, the same way we today must deal with the devil and their false teachers bringing in new ideas into the Lord's church. We must deal with these false teachers and their false teachings and not allow them to infiltrate the body of believers. In this next section of verses, John is going to switch gears and start giving the readers the reasons they could know that they are on the correct path with their salvation. He is going to tell them how they can know that they are walking in the light of Jesus. Have you ever wondered if you were on the correct path to heaven? Have you ever wondered that? I get some smiles, I've got some head nodding, I got some head shaking. You know, some don't want to answer. Okay. You know, I've questioned on whether or not what I'm doing is right, you know. But when I read the scriptures, I don't find anything to where I'm, you know, going down the wrong path. Yes.
I didn't
Okay.
Just because I didn't believe I was going to heaven.
Right. And again, you know, that's a question that a lot of people have, and we've talked about this, that, you know, we need to know. We need to have the faith that we're going to heaven. Kat?
You know, and it took a while for me to realize that it wasn't, you know, arrogance or self-righteous to be able to say, yes, I didn't know what was going
on. I think where people assume arrogance is they don't realize that we are constantly looking through our religious being, looking through our actions, and constantly looking
Right. Yeah, and I've always told people, you know, when I've studied with them, is like, you know, if I'm not doing something right, or if I'm not believing or understanding something right, I want to know. You know, because I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure that I am living the Christian life, you know, the way I'm supposed to be living it, that I am doing God's will. Because my goal is to get to heaven regardless. You know, so I want to make sure I'm doing right. And we do that by studying God's word, to know what it is that God is telling us. By knowing the truth, we know what the false prophets are, you know, the false teachings are, you know, by doing it, you know, and that's easy to always say, you know, question what I teach you. Because don't be led down, you know, the rabbit hole by believing false teachings. You know, we need to know the truth, because our goal is to go to heaven, and not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to go to heaven, but those who do the will of our Father. And doing our will of our Father means doing the right will, not my will. And we'll get into that later. In fact, we'll get into the end of this, my section here. Yes.
When the Restoration Movement started, 1700s.
Oh, that far back. Okay. Right.
That was the thought, that we could not say we were saved, that we were going to heaven. That was one of the beliefs, and another one was that we're the only ones that are going to be.
Right.
Okay, but over the years, and until in my lifetime, I've seen them starting those two things changing.
Right. Yeah.
But he said, yes, I can, because John tells us we can.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, 5:13, he says, then these things I have written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God. All we've got to do is believe. We've got to believe and follow his will. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son.
Right. Yeah. Right. To the best of our ability, the way we understand it, but we can't be led blindly down it. You know, we need to study the scriptures ourselves. And it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. we need to verify it. We need to prove it ourselves, not just take it for granted that, well, Reed's up there, he's a minister, you know, he's an elder, he knows what he's talking about, well, I'm going to believe him blindly. No, that's not what the scripture says.
Wednesday night, in that video we watched,
yes.
One of those guys, he had all the air piercing stuff. But anyway,
he said, the tattoo.
All you have to do is be a good person, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of what people want to believe.
Yeah, we're watching a video series on the Truth Project. Dr. Talbert or something like that, I don't remember what his name is, and he interviews people from around the world. He'll ask a question, and Wednesday night we're looking at who is God, and they was asking who God was, and he was talking about the tattoo artist, I don't remember what his name is, but he says, I don't believe in God, he says, I'm my own God, you know, and so, but they're just getting other people's insight on what it is, and they've got other people from all walks of life, but and they got a 13-year-old kid in there, and he knows what's going on, and you'll see that throughout the video. He's right on with his beliefs and ideas and everything. But anyway, you know, we all want to go to heaven. Otherwise, why are you here this morning? You know, if you didn't want to go to heaven, unless you had questions about it, you know, you wouldn't be here. We need to make sure that we are following his scriptures and we are doing the will of God the correct way. You know, are we doing God's will when we twist his words and do what we want instead of what he wants? You know, you keep hearing me say or giving the example of objective versus subjective. You know, when we're looking at God's word, we need to be objective. That means, what is it that God is telling me? What is it that God wants me to do? That's what I want to do. We don't want to go into reading the scriptures subjectively, and it's like, oh, well, okay, I've read this, and I want that to mean this, or I want it to say this. I want to be able to do this, and so I'm going to twist this. You know, there's the saying out there, you can make the Bible say whatever you want to by twisting it. You know, I've known people who will take a scripture out of context to make it what they want it to be. You know, an example with Jesus wept. Oh, that means Jesus was a wimp. He was a sissy. He, you know, he cried. And no, read this verses above and below it, and you find out that his best friend Lazarus just died. Even though he knows he's going to raise him back from the dead, Jesus still was heartbroken about it. Okay? But that's what people do, is they'll pull a scripture out and make it what they want and say what they want. Okay? You got to read the top and bottom of the scriptures to get the full meaning of it. But that's being subjective, is when we make the Bible say what we want it to say, and you know, and other people force other people to believe it because that's what the Bible says. See it right here. It says black and white. Jesus wept. No, we need to look at the scriptures objectively. What is it that God wants me to do? What is it that God is telling me? Okay? What is the big picture of the Bible? Verses 8, 9, and 10. John kind of changes lanes here. He was talking about God being light, and now he's going to elaborate on the idea of sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay? I might not have said it. I'm sorry. Okay, well, back up then. 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him, Jesus, and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth.
The truth is that we're walking in the light.
Okay. Yeah. This is the message which have been you have heard from Jesus declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, remember, we've talked about this. There's light or darkness. There's good, there's evil. There's God, there's devil. There is no middle ground. Okay, so you got to decide which one you're in. You're God is light, or you're in the darkness. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with Jesus, and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You cannot say that I'm a Christian, that I'm walking in the light, but yet we do not practice the truth. We're walking in the darkness. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? So if we're walking in the light as Jesus is in the light, we're living a life with our light shining, not under the bushel basket, as Jesus talked about, okay? If we're letting our light shine, we're walking in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, don't we? And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins. Okay? Sorry, I got distracted and talking about everything else and forgot those last two verses. Thank you. So now we can go on with verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know? Do we sin? Yeah, we do. And if we say that we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. And if the truth is not in us, then how can the light be in us? Because we're lying to ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, being Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay? People, there are some people who say, I do no wrong. You know, I've never sinned. Well, guess what? You do. Romans 3, verse 22 and 24. The end of verse 22. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have all sinned. Every one of us. It doesn't matter who we are, okay? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks to Jesus and his blood that he shed, we have redemption. We have salvation. We have forgiveness, okay? And John is just trying to remind them of this, okay? He's just reminding them again that through the light, God is light, through this light, you can remember, you can be sure of your Christianity. Right.
But here in John, he's telling us the blood of Jesus does.
Mm-hmm. Now, yep.
That's why we can sin and we still get justified because of his grace and by what Jesus did.
Yep.
Not that we. How do you want to say that?
I don't know.
That,
What does Paul say about that?
I don't know. But I know it's wrong. It doesn't work.
Right. Shall we sin so that grace can abound?
Yeah.
No, we can't. Okay? But there are those I have heard say that, you know, I can do whatever I want to during the week and then go to Mass on Friday night or Saturday and be forgiven for it. I can go to do whatever I want to on Friday, you know, through the week, because I can go in and have be forgiven of it. I can go all the way, do whatever I want to. You know, that's not what it is. That's not what, you know, Paul says. You don't sin just so grace can abound. You know, we need to be living a life, a Christian life, the best we can, doing the will of God all the time. Are we going to sin? Yes. We're going to trip. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. Okay? Kat? Yes, it does.
If that's where I'm at in my study right now, I'll be quiet. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, you're fine. You are fine.
A lot of us don't know what sin is.
Sin is anything that separates you from God. It could be music, candy, anything.
Candy?
Your attitude, it could be the way you walk, it could be the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you think, the way you feel. Anything that separates puts an enmity between you and God is sin.
And the scriptures tell us, you know, gives us a long list of sins and the like. Remember, we looked at that a lot last month on that portion of it. These are sins specifically and the like. So, you know, what you're thinking about doing or what you're doing might not be listed per se, but if it's like one of these others, then it's a sin.
If
yes, ma'am.
It doesn't produce fruits of the Spirit.
Right. Anna? Your Bible says yonder?
Huh?
Your Bible said yonder?
Do you understand?
Yes.
We can't just accept.
Do you see the light?
We cannot just simply accept that faith alone will save everybody. Because if we assume that we just have to sit there on our lorries and do nothing,
right. Says
yeah, it's not by faith alone. You know, James, we talked about, goes into that. It's not just by faith, it's by works. You know, and he gets into that discussion about, you know, you show me your faith and I'll show you my faith through my works. They're tied together. Yes. She did.
We all are given a talent by God.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Yeah, we all have a talent, you know. And some of us have more talents than others, but, you know, we go back to the story, the parable of the talents. You know, that was a money that they gave out. You know, the master gave to his slaves talents being money, but God, being the master, has given us all talents, as in, you know, actual talents that we are to be using for God, using in his work, in his service. And we might have one talent, five talents, 10 talents, whatever, but are we using those talents to grow his kingdom? Or are we holding on them like that one slave did because he was scared of his master and he ended up having them taken away from him and being rebuked and, you know, because he didn't do what he was supposed to do? Yes. Right. Yeah, I've heard older Christians say, "Well, I've done my part. Now it's up for the new generation to do it. I'm going to sit back and do nothing." Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that you only have to do work up until this age, and then you don't have to do anything else. No. You know, the tree, once it was given up, you know, producing fruit, it was cut down. There was no age limit to the tree. Okay, so we always need to be working. We always need to be producing fruit. Yes?
What is sin? Sin is anything that you pursue. Anything. It can be all of those things that Robert said.
Except for the candy.
What?
Except for the candy.
But
he's saying, like with his golf,